All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. I believe before we get into announcements today, we have a memory to share, correct? Yes.
And so Joan's going to come up too. Before Joy went on the youth retreat, God bless the youth and the leaders at the retreat right now. But she helped me put these pictures, get them ready for this. 5 years ago, this past Wednesday, this is what we discovered when we opened the church doors. And you were the first one, really.
Yes. Karen Pope called me and she said, they were quilting at the time. She came around the corner and she saw the pile and she said, "There's some tiles on the floor." And I thought,
tiles? But she hadn't turned the lights on.
No, and she just turned around and went back. She didn't look anything. And I thought, tiles on the floor? And I was kind of irritated, actually. I said, "Oh, okay, I'll come down." And I came in the door and I went, I could see daylight. And then I thought, then I'll come into the church sanctuary here. And I, oh. And I,
so that's
what
right
do I do?
Where you see that overhang right there,
yep,
is where the partial roof collapse was.
So I said, what do I do? So I took pictures. Troy Winters was on the original building, lead carpenter with Al. And so I called him, and he was in California at the time, and I sent him pictures and I said, what do I do? he called me. He says, give me a minute. I'll make a couple of calls.
Wait, go back a minute. Yeah.
There.
That's Elsie Erholtz shoveling the snow.
I think Aaron is there.
Aaron?
Mm-hmm. Aaron Anderson.
Is there. And then there was wheelbarrows. They'd shovel the snow into wheelbarrows and wheel it outside.
Yeah.
There's, okay.
That's Dave and Ben.
Yeah.
And so within, I can't remember, an hour or two, Cliff Kastner and his crew were here. Mm-hmm. And they got up there and assessed everything. I said, what do you need? So he told me, ran to the plant. We had some long, I think there were 2x12s.
She's talking about Land O'Lakes wood preserving plant.
Yeah. So we had some long, I think it was 2x12s, 2x10s, 22 feet. We don't carry those usually. But we had them, just what they needed, and plywood and everything. So as they worked through the day, I kept bringing them things, and then they said, we need a tarp to cover everything. Well, how big, you know? Well, you probably have to get two. So I headed for town and started calling as I'm going. And the last one I called was Ace on the Lake, and they had just the size we needed. Great big huge thing.
All right.
And just as the crew was coming off at the end of the day, it started to rain, and it was all sealed, closed in.
Wow.
Ready.
So that the worship, His grace abounds to me. That's what I kept thinking. That's what we experienced,
yeah,
5 years ago. One thing Steve had said, he sent out a announcement to the church family just saying there's been some issues, whatever. He says something about, we'll see whether we can meet in the sanctuary on Sunday or if we'll be someplace else. It was 3 months later we were able to come back in here.
Yeah.
Because right where we're standing was wet, soggy carpeting. The foyer was, yeah.
Yeah. The blessing, you know, the Lord can take a bad situation and turn it into good. And we needed new carpet. We needed a paint job. And we got it. I wanted to share, too, when I sent all the bills to the insurance company, I added the volunteer hours. And I can't remember if this was the total volunteer hours or not, because this is a partial. This is through June. We had 686 volunteer hours. And when we got the check from the insurance company, they paid for the volunteer labor. And I sent them a list of other things that we did just to tie in, like finishing the beams, and we carpeted the steps. Anyway, it was like $5,500 extra that we were planning to spend out of our own just to make it cohesive and everything. And the insurance company paid everything. We only paid the deductible.
And thank you, Lord.
We got everything
thank
new.
You, Lord.
So he just turned what a bad situation, you know, and the animal. And the thing is, both Mark and I looked at the snow load on Sunday. And I had someone come on Monday morning and shovel off the old, where the old sanctuary meets, because that always drifts high, and it was probably 6 feet tall there, shoveled that down. We looked up here, and it did not look that there was a problem. But
Emily, you can
see.
Keep running them over.
Yeah. But you couldn't see it from the, it had melted and then froze, melted and froze, and then filled in with snow. So it was very heavy. And so we got a new, we got all new.
Thank you, Lord. And the roof is secure.
Yep, the roof is secure.
So we thank you, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. But I owe this, Lord, for where we're at right now. There's something in someone's life right now that seems this big, this much of a mess. But you're saying, my grace abounds to you. We thank you, Lord. We're receivers of your grace. We're thankful for you, Lord. We're thankful how you helped us. We're thankful for the volunteers. We're thankful for everyone who had a part. We're thankful for the professional help we received. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
All right. Just a couple of announcements for us here, and then we're going to move on as quickly as I can to our speaker today, Jill. Oh, boy. All right. So first, there's going to be an opportunity today, this Sunday, to receive a love offering from Ann Nelson, who cleaned our church for the longest time and made it look so beautiful and wonderful every Sunday. So you can make checks out to TCC and indicate on your envelope that your offering is for Ann Nelson, and a reminder that we take our offerings on the boxes in the back. There's a fellowship meal today, Adonna Maria. Yeah?
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. It should be good. That'll be right after the service. You're welcome to join us. We also have nursery available, as we always do. On Wednesdays, this Wednesday, we have 9 a.m. Touchpoint with Pastor Stephen Joyce, as always. And at 6 p.m., we have Amplify Youth Group and Kids Activities. And just a little note here that next week, March 24th, we'll be partaking in communion together. So of course, we are approaching the Easter season, right? Any additional announcements will be out in the foyer. We got a new, I don't know if you guys have seen that, right? We have a nice new desk there, nice new screen, so lots of announcements on there. So make sure to look at that, because that's where things that I don't say up here will be, okay? One last thing, had this passed to me. On Good Friday, that is March 29th, there's going to be a Community Good Friday service at the Beaux Arts Ballroom. That's on the BSU campus. It's from 6 to 7 on March 29th. All right, and there's more of these out in the foyer. I'm sure you can talk to Tim Pomp if you have any questions about that. All right, so I'm just going to say a prayer over us this morning, then we're going to move right on to our speaker this morning. Jesus, we are so thankful that you do renew all things, that you make good out of what doesn't seem so great. Such a good reminder, seeing those pictures this morning, a reminder of that time that we got to spend together in that other sanctuary where things seemed uncertain. We were all crammed together, and yet we worshiped together. We came here, and we brought all those worries and anxieties here. And even if we are here this morning, and we brought a state of anxiety, if we brought a state of fear, if we brought a state of uncertainty, you're here this morning. Jesus has you here this morning. So we just declare over every single person here a state of renewal, a state of peace, a state of hope that we can look forward to even better things than we thought were possible. In your name, Jesus, we thank you. Amen. All right. Welcome up. Jill is giving us the word this morning. Give him a hand.
Woo! Over here, Jill. Come around here. This is son Gilles. My son, did you know I had a son, Gilles? And his mom, since he came, is it 20 years ago?
Just about
20 years ago, mm-hmm. Gilles came from Cameroon, and he's been a part of our church family ever since then. And Gilles is a man of God, thankful for his wife, Kristen, and also his children that are part of our church family. And he's a real intercessor too, prayer warrior, and as well as his wife. And we're just so thankful for them.
Amen.
And Jill's going to share the word with us here now. So God bless you and your anointing, Lord. Thank you for that.
Hallelujah. Can you hear me? Am I good? All right. Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Steve. I have a Bible and notes to look official. But knowing myself, I already forgot on everything that I wrote down there. It never fails. Every time I speak somewhere, I always forget whatever I prepared. But thank God for his grace. Oh, that's my wife walking over there. How many of you know my wife? The cutest girl around? Yeah. She's an amazing lady. Vicky, you were right. These things are bright. They are bright. Yes, they are. She's an amazing lady. We've been married for 12 years now. And she's been a constant reminder from God that I am complicated. She doesn't say anything. It's just the simplicity, the grace that she lives with. She's just amazing. She never speaks back, nor that there is anything to speak back to, because I don't speak first. I'm following your footsteps. And I understand that I grew up somewhere where we didn't speak English like here. And I can see that in my own house too. I am really bad at communicating. Can you imagine? And God calls me to preach. I'll take you an example. This week, we had a garage door that didn't want to go down. So we get in the garage. I get on this side. I said, honey, we are going to check the sensor. You go on that side, and I will be on this side. Look right here at the sensor and let me know if you see the light on that side. So I said, look right here. So my wife went on this side, and she was looking right where I was pointing. I said, do you see the light? She looks at my light. She said, I can see it. I said, but why is it not working? I said, look again, look this way. I was trying to say, your sensor, look at the light here. So we went back and forth. Oh, that's my wife. Can we please clap for her? So we went back and forth with this sensor thing until I understood that, oh, I'm not giving the correct message. the correct words. And we both started laughing when we found out that she was supposed to look at hers. So it's the same thing with God. And we know that I have this communication issue, so we have a lot of grace in our home to actually speak. Mama Pump told me when we were in counseling that never assume anything in marriage. Don't assume anything. Speak. Ask. Can you hear me, Adam? Okay. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, you are God, and thank you for being in our midst. Lord, thank you for your beautiful presence. Thank you for always being with us. Speak to us, Lord, we are listening. Let your word come sharp like a sword and penetrates our hearts, O God. Break in us what needs to be broken and build your temple among us, O God, so that in us you will come and dwell the fullness of your presence. We give you glory and we thank you in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I have a lot of scriptures to read because I know that a lot of us don't read our Bibles. I'm not talking about you, just the person next to you. They might not read their Bible. And this is the only time we can read it for you. But before we get there, I will start by the ending of my message. The difference between Jesus and Christ. They are two different people in one. Just like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three in one. Jesus is a man. Christ is God. If you want, Christ is his divinity. Christ was not the one crucified. Jesus was. And when he was on earth, he lived as a man, not as God. As a man. Why? Because God didn't have a sin issue. Man did. God didn't lose dominion on earth. Man did. And it is a man to recover that which was lost. So Jesus and Christ are one, but function differently. And when he died, Jesus died, the Bible says he ascended in heaven, Ephesians chapter 4, and he brought captives with him. So Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, but Christ is down here. Are you still with me? He said, it is better for you that I go so that I can send the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 says that Jesus is the head of the body of Christ. My message today is about the glory of God. Jesus is the head. He's sitting on in heaven. The Father said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So Jesus is sitting there, but Christ is here. This is Christ. The Bible says Christ is a many-membered body. You and I are Christ. That's why we are called Christians, not Jesusians. We are Christians. The Bible says it is something that man has not seen. It is a new creation. Man has not seen it. Ears have not heard about it. New creation. Christians. Jesus Christ is the, in one word, it's Emmanuel, God with us. Because we look at our nation and we look at all that is happening. It's dark. Common sense is not common sense anymore. We look at something that is black, we say it looks red or it's white. And some of us can feel that pressure coming. And some of us panic as to what we ought to do. I love these songs that we sung here. I seek your face. That's the only message I have from God. Seeking his face. That's the only one. If you heard me once, you heard me twice. Because the times are so dark, and they are going to get darker. Hebrews says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The only thing that is going to remain is the word of God. Your freedom, guaranteed by the Constitution, let's fight for it, but we're going to lose it. Hello? Are you still here? The freedom, we are going to lose it. Because to begin with, we let it go. The good thing with God, I like to say this. My first year here, they always ask me, are you guys in Africa free to preach the gospel? I said, of course we are. There is no nation where Christians are not free to preach the gospel. None. It means, also means that there are some nations, if you carry this thing, they will shoot you. It does not mean that you are not free. Your freedom does not come from a piece of paper. It comes from God. You cannot fight for that piece of paper more than your relationship with God. If that becomes it, we call that idolatry. Because a lot of us are ready to die for the nation, but few of us are ready to die for God. I want to talk about the glory of God. The Bible says he shares it with no one. And we are his people. Really, we are his people. Hello? Can you look at your neighbor? Are they still here with us? I even haven't read anything I wrote, but I told you. In the book of Exodus chapter 34, Moses is a type, I like the guy. The guy liked God so much that he will go up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says he ate nothing and drank nothing. 40 days and 40 nights? I'll be dead. But he enjoyed the presence of God so much. He was so bold that he was talking to God, and he said, show me your glory. And God said, I like this guy. Say, if I have found grace in your eyes, show me your glory. The Lord gave him a little speech. You cannot see, man cannot see my face and live. So I'm going to hide you on the cleft of the rock here. Oh, come on, Jesus, the cleft of the rock. And then I'm going to let my face pass, but you will see my back. And that's what Moses saw. What's in the back of God? Theologians tell us that the Father showed him creation, his works. how beautiful his works are. Can I submit to you that we, as Christians, his back is not sufficient for us. His face is available. When he died, the Bible says the veil rent from top to bottom because God was so excited to get out of that box. The Father wanted out of that box to come fellowship with us. Hey, if he's your Father, you can see his face. Of course, he's going to tame the brilliance that comes out of it so you can look at him. Philip said, show us the Father. And Jesus looked at him and said, what's up with you? I've been with you all this time, and yet you say, show us the Father. Haven't you seen me? Our nation is fallen. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And I like to say, if you don't want more abundant life, at least get life. The life that you get is for you, for your family. The abundance that's flowing through your neighbors. At least get life. God knows the sufferings we go through. He does know. When you cry in the middle of the night because things are not going right, he knows. When you try to wake up in the morning and your body is all aching, he knows. He's there. When they are gathering and pass laws that are to remove independence or dependence to give heed to God, he knows. But why isn't he doing anything? Relationship. You will never know God until you start relating to him. Your face I will seek. Really? Is that you and I? What are we willing to give up to seek his face? I mean, seek his face. 40 days and 40 nights. God, you must speak to me. I'm talking about myself. I can sit down and watch some shows on TV, I like to look at people shooting. Sometimes my wife looks at me and she doesn't say anything. We have time. We all have 24 hours. How do we use it? Because Moses saw God shining, his brilliance. He saw this light coming out of God from his back. Same thing with Ezekiel. Ezekiel saw things that cannot be named. He tried to describe them the best he could. But it was so glorious that it's written in the Bible that he fell down. I think the guy was terrified. He saw God's glory that he was so terrified, he fell down. The same thing happened to John in Revelation. He fell down. The glory of God. Same thing in Matthew chapter 17. Jesus took three of his disciples. He said, let's go up to the mountain. And then they get on the mountain. And all of a sudden, the man starts shining. He's shown so much that Peter started blabbling. I think he was speaking in tongues before being baptized in tongues. Because he didn't know what he was saying. He saw the glory of God. But then Jesus did something strange. In in the book of John chapter 12, he said, Father, glorify your name. And the Father said, I have already glorified it and I will do it again. Now, did we see Jesus walking everywhere shining? No. Even rarely, the power of God will knock people down around him. It happens only a few times, maybe once. Who are you seeking? We are seeking Jesus of Nazareth. I am. Boom, all of them on the floor. That didn't happen often. Jesus was approachable. Can we imagine all of us walking around with shining faces? Who's going to approach us? People will run away from us. But so how did the Father glorify his name in Jesus' life? That's the glory I want to talk about, because God shares it with no one. I know Romans says that to those who seek honor, glory, and immortality, God will give them eternal life. You know that it's in your Bible, right? Those who seek honor and glory and immortality, God gives them eternal life. What's immortality? What is immortality that the Lord says if you seek it, he's going to give you eternal life? Okay, that's a parenthesis for you. Please go find out. When Jesus came as a man with the same laws, the same politics, just as the Romans were there oppressing, that's how our government is. And the oppression of our government does not stand only in this nation. There are African nations that are under threat from this government, that if they don't start supporting some agendas, especially LGBTQ, they are in trouble. Can you imagine that? And my question is, where is the church? Where are we as the sons of God, as his children? Your face I will seek. By the grace of God, we can enter into his presence. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 4, when Jesus ascended, he gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the edification of the saints. When the Bible says he gave some, pastor is a gift to the body. He is the gift. Pastorship is a gift to the body. How many of you know that it's not always convenient to be a pastor? Even as a father, as a mom, sometimes you just want, can you give me 10 minutes? Especially moms. As us fathers, we know how to escape kids. It's not convenient. Proverbs says that acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. He didn't say smooth. He said straight. It does not mean there's not going to be a mountain. There might come a time where you have to cross water, but it's straight. Before Jesus comes back in Ephesians, he says he gave us this fivefold ministry until we are going to have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, until we all, as the body of Christ, reach the maturity of Christ. That's when Jesus comes back. Jesus is not coming back because there is darkness. He's not coming back because there is war. He's not coming back because you are being oppressed. He's coming back because the head and the body look alike. Can you imagine? Jesus is, let's say, he's a nice Middle Eastern tan going on him. And then the body is looking cool like me. And then you put them together. Something is wrong, isn't it? No. What attracts Jesus back? It's a church that looks like him. Not the war, not the darkness, not the persecution. He said, all those are signs of my coming. Hello? That's what we call the wedding of the Lamb. The head Jesus and the body Christ together become one forever. So the Father is calling us to fellowship. He says, come sit at my feet. You know that problem you have been going through? That ache in your body? Come sit at my feet. Let me teach you how to take care of it. Because we are responsible for our lives and the people around us. If we all go shining, because this is God's glory, we are not going to be able to reach the people around us. We have to be approachable, one of them, without being one of them. You understand what I'm trying to say? We have to look like them. But when they see us, they say, something is wrong, different with Ashley. Something is different with Peter. Why is he always smiling when everybody else is crying? What's wrong with these people? We become crazy for them. Because they are crying, we are not laughing because they are crying, but there is this peace. In Egypt, when the plagues were going on, they were in their homes eating bread. The Jews, Israel was in their homes, perfectly preserved by God. He hasn't changed. You shouldn't be afraid of adversity. We shouldn't be afraid to speak up. Is it convenient? No, it's not. Are people going to like you? No, they are not. But the only one who matters, the Father, is pleased. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Now look at what he preached. They tried to stone him a few times. He wasn't a popular preacher. He didn't care, in a sense that it wasn't the reaction he was looking for. It was the approval of his Father. The Lord showed me a church in a vision. He grabbed me and showed me a church that was beautiful. Unity does not mean we all agree. That's not unity. Unity means I think it should be done this way. You think it should be done this way. But we look at ourselves, we say, let's do Christ. I don't agree the way you speak. I don't agree the way you think about this, but I can see the fruit of my Father in you. So let's walk together. If I'm there with him, what I'm missing, he's strong in it. He covers for me. Marriage, husband and wife. You know why the Bible calls the wife the weaker? No, it's not that she's weak. She was taken out when everything was formed. She's delicate, handle with care. And the rest of us, we were made out of raw material, so we are raw. The wife protects. She was taken out of the rib. She protects the heart. The church is a type of a wife, of a bride. The bride of Proverbs is Proverbs chapter 32, talking about the perfect bride. We like to quote that to our women in church, but it's about the church. The reason that bride, that wife, that mother can take care of everything is because the husband already provided everything that is needed. Just like Jesus provided everything that partake of life. We have been blessed with all kinds of blessing in the heavenlies. But where are they? Am I too hard? Because there is a time where you need to sit and ask yourself questions. And if you don't know what God has you do, you know how I found out, you know how I found out what I was supposed to do? Working in the church. High school student, I will go to school. They give you money for transportation. My parents will give me money for transportation. Go to school. I'll take a cab in the morning to go to school. They are cheaper. Back home then, they were cheaper than owning a car. I go to school, and then I will walk 2 hours back from school to the house so that I can have transportation to go to church. Sometimes I will spend a whole day at school without eating, saving money, because the church I was going to, I was a counselor, and there was this single mom with her daughter that needed food. I will go hungry and go give them that money. I enjoy cleaning church. I was good at it. Me and another brother will clean church while singing and praising. A service to God. And one day we were in a, we call it camp meeting. About 2,000 or 3,000 people in attendance. And during lunch break, the chairs were, you know those foldable chairs? They were all scattered everywhere. I stood there, I said, God, I'm going to line up these chairs for you. I started with the first one. Line it up. I lined them up perfectly. If you stood here, they are perfectly aligned. Perfectly aligned. Even diagonally, they are perfectly aligned. When I was at the last chair, I said, God, I hope you like this. And I heard him clearly saying, because you took time to do this for me, this is what I will have you do in the kingdom. Just because I was working in the church. That's why I like to do dishes. I found a way to switch my brain off doing a manual job and listening. You will never have the fullness of God until you start serving. It's impossible. You will never know how anointed you are until you start serving people. And how can you serve people if you don't spend time with God? Who is the son of mine that you are mindful of him? God is mindful of people. You want to know what God thinks about people? Fellowship in the church. You don't know what your brother who's sitting by you or 2 chairs away does. You know how I learned how to hear God? After the service, I will sit back home. I say, God, who should I go talk to? As a counselor in the church. I wasn't a pastor. People didn't even remember we were counselors because we were not the pastors. But as a church member, God, who can I say hi to? We are talking about the glory of God. And God said, go talk to that person. You are not going to say, God said, I should come talk to you. No. Hi, Andrew, how are you? How is work going? How are the kids? What are you doing tomorrow? Look at us. We crave relationship, but very few of us make the first step to call somebody to hang out. Are we free? No, there should be fellowship. I was saying that the Lord showed me a vision of the church that he's coming back for. They were beautiful people. They were marching in order. And then he showed me they were going down. The leader was standing there, and the leader, they were hiding because there was something happening outside that was trying to kill them. But yet, the Lord will also send them to go out and preach. So they will go out, all of them, and preach, and all of them will come back. So in them coming back, they reach a junction where the roads were identical. The leader comes, he stood up and said, I've been here before. I think we should go right. He didn't consult God. And his second in command says, excuse me, I think we should go left. Now you're having an issue. And the leader turned, he looked at his second in command, oh, we should go left. He looked at him and he saw respect, love, and honor for him. No animosity, no quarreling, and said, oh, you're right. Let's go left. And then they went left. As soon as they entered left, they were where they were supposed to be. They think differently, but because God is alive in them, unity. He also showed me on another time the kind of people that he's going to use for this end time. Walking in the street in a vision, walking in the street in the city, I see this guy, he was rough. Every other word that came out of his mouth was either not an F or a B words. They were coming out like candy. And I'll go, oh, we shouldn't go close to this guy. And then I got upset against him because all the kids in the streets came to him. I said, God, and I knew I was sleeping, so I knew it was a vision. I said, God, we should prevent this guy from interacting with kids. God said, that's my child. I said, hey? Can't you hear his vocabulary? God said, no, look at his heart. And I saw his heart. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. He had a beautiful heart. God said, life made him speak that way. But now anytime this guy was talking, an F word will come out, I will hear something different because of how his heart spoke. That's why the kids recognize him. And this is how powerful the man was. A kid will come and say, I need socks. Put his hand out of thin air, pulls out socks and gives it to her. I need this. Oh, you need water? There were kids in the streets. The church of God scattered. It doesn't matter how rough you think you are for God. It doesn't matter how old you are now. Oh God, I'm old. My time is past. No. The heart that you are presenting to God is what God judges us by. The relationship you have with God is so beautiful that you will wake up and say, God, today I'm going to pray 3 hours. And you start praying. After 15 hours, you are tired. and you fall asleep, God counts it as three because of your heart. The glory of God is taking the authority of Christ and make it flesh. That's what his glory is. His glory is you taking his character and become it. Those who are called by the name of Jesus is his character. It's how he is. And when we become like him, then he starts telling us, oh, you're a politician. Say, yeah, this is how I want you to go do in the house today. This is what I want you to speak. Why? Because you carry his character. Now, when you are going to work, everybody is sick. As soon as you enter, the glory of God falls on them. They start getting healed. Why? Because you are carrying his glory. His authority is becoming flesh in you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we can see his glory as the glory of the only begotten. That's how the Father glorified his name in the life of Jesus. Jesus was like his papa. As a matter of fact, he said, I do nothing unless I see him doing it. God is calling us for fellowship. It has to be intentional. The grace of God is the power for you to walk, but he's not going to pick your leg up for you. You don't pray until you start praying. You don't read your Bible until you actually start reading it. You don't start prophesying until you open your mouth. You don't love people until you start loving them. Hello? God has himself for us. He wants out of that box. He rent the veil because he was excited to come out. It wasn't mainly for us to go in, no. He wanted out. Creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The angels want to see what the Father looks like. And their shot at seeing is you. How do I know this? Read Ezekiel. The four creatures that carry the presence of God. Every time the presence of God comes, they cover their faces because they cannot look at the Father. Angels don't see him the way you think. He is too beautiful to be beheld. The beauty of God can melt you. That's why they want to see him through you and I, the children of God. I don't know what your ministry is. I don't know what God is calling you to do. But please, do it. Can I tell you another thing? Things are not going to line up. He never promised you that things will line up. But everything works for good for those who love him. Not for Christians. For those who love him. If you don't love him, things are not going to work out good for you. Every promise of God has a principle attached to it. You must find that principle and become it. That is what the glory of God is. The glory of God in my life is how I treat my wife. Never yell at her. Why would I yell at her? Look at how cute she is. How do you yell at somebody so cute? When you see other people more than yourself, you want to serve. That's why the greatest in the kingdom is the servant. Why? Because we esteem everybody better than us. Hello? You cannot pray like me. It's impossible. It's only me who can do that. I cannot be like you. It's only you who can be it. I cannot preach like Pastor Steve. If I try, you all will be confused. Because he's unique. It's him. Like we say here, let me do me. But the me is Jesus inside. Discover who you are. And the way to do that is to serve. You have to become a servant. Come to church and serve. We are a body. So that the people who are serving, we don't get burned out. Even at work, be the servant. Nobody will recognize you, but the Father sees your heart. And the day you get there, he says, my daughter, you've come. This is your throne. Sit at my right hand. God is the one you want to please, not me, not Pastor Steve, not your husband, not your wife, not your children. You want to please him. By pleasing him, everybody else is happy. Then sickness doesn't know how to get to you anymore. Death itself will avoid you because you are so filled with life. When they come to shoot you, you will stand there and say, go ahead. Death is not a bad thing, people. Death is a good thing. Don't be afraid of it. You are not going to hell. The Bible says he've come to deliver them from the fear of death. Not mainly death, but the fear of it. Don't be afraid of death. You are not going to hell. You are going to heaven. Go meet Mama Pump. Go meet your mom, if she's there, your loved ones. Don't be afraid to die. But be more eager to live for Christ. Can we please close our eyes? What is it that the Father wants you to do? Are you going to tell him, Lord, here I am. I will do it. And if you don't know what he's asking you to do, ask him to teach you. Ask him to show you. Father, we thank you for your grace, Lord. You are a good God. Thank you for rebuking us. Thank you for instructing us. Your word says that you rebuke whom that you love. May your grace fill us as we go home, O Lord. As we sleep tonight, Father, speak to us in dreams and vision. As we open our Bibles to read, Father, speak to us. As our spouse speak to us, O Lord, let use them to speak to us. As our children answer back to us, Lord, speak to us through them. As we go to work and our bosses speak to us, Father, use them to speak to us. We love you, Lord. We release your blessing on our children today, O God. Father, we declare that the sickness that fall on other kids will not touch our children, O God. We release your life in them, O God. They will grow to serve you. They will grow to walk with you. They will hear your voice more than any other generation. Your power, God, will be with our children and grandchildren, O God, wherever they go, Almighty God. For those of them that don't know you, O God, we call them back to the house. We call them back to you, O God, and we declare that they belong to you. Bless our homes, O Lord. Teach us how to be the best spouse for our partners, O God. Teach us how to be the best husbands, the best wives, the best children, O God, according to your glory. We thank you for your grace and your peace in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Yes. If you need prayer, please come over. I think we are done. I'm sorry to leave it so heavy, but I want you to go home heavy that way so you can sit and talk to him. You have no idea how much God wants to talk to us, to you especially. So please go eat some food and say hi to somebody you haven't seen before. Yes. Hallelujah.